when we pray together and mention the various needs and the various ones who are on the list week after week, I listen to every prayer that is prayed in the meeting, and I noticed something tonight, and it thrilled my own soul. I learned that there's at least one person who has spent enough time on the prayer list that our brother Sutton knew exactly how many were on there that had cancer and how many children were on the list. And that tells me that someone has been spending time with a prayer list. And I praise God for that. We never know how much is accomplished by addressing the Lord in prayer. The multitudes of people to pray for that aren't on that list. You never know. I've been praying for a dear sister who waits on another one of her physical sisters. Her sister had a stroke, and her husband that she's trying to take care of in another city has Alzheimer's disease. Now, can you imagine the problems that that lady faces? Beloved, there is much in the world to keep us busy in intercession before the throne of God. And the nice part about it, when we're in intercession for others, our own lives are conformed to the image of Christ as we spend time in His presence. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Continue to pray for those who are going to be traveling this weekend. There are many that are traveling beside the Edgerton family. Those who are going to Bryan for this weekend, and there are others who are also going to be traveling to various places. So verse 1 of Galatians 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that he circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whomsoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now may the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. We saw last week, as we examine the great allegory at the end of chapter 4, where he shows that the two sons in the household of Abraham represent the two covenants, the covenant of grace that God made with Abraham and the covenant of works at Mount Sinai, and that we are not in bondage to a covenant of works. We are not under the law, but rather God's matchless grace has given us the freedom of sons. For we are children, not of the bondwoman. We are children of the free. We read in the last verse of chapter 4. Now because of this freedom that is our birthright, beloved, he tells us in chapter 5, Stand fast, therefore. And that word, therefore, is as it were a summing up of the doctrine that he has given. And now, in a practical way, he's saying, put into practice what you should have learned from the first four chapters. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. So that brings us to the delights of freedom. You and I are children of the free woman, and therefore we're free. What are these delights? Beloved, the delights are very simple. The liberty that was procured at Calvary has exempted us from all the ceremonies of the law. There isn't a ceremony of the law that can do that much for you. It can't do as much as a snapping of a finger. God has done it all by divine grace. I needed cleansing, beloved. And the Lord Jesus provided his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I needed a standing in the presence of a holy God. And Christ is my righteousness. He has justified me. I need to be holy. For the word of God says, be ye holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. And Christ is made unto us sanctification. Beloved, everything we need is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer put it, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Calvary and the work of the cross has exempted us from all the ceremonies of the law. Furthermore, there is more, beloved, in our salvation than simply being delivered by divine grace. It is being able to do the right thing. I am now free, beloved, to do that which is right. All the while that the law stood against me and Sinai's thunders pealed, never enabled me to do what was right. I couldn't. But now he has sent forth the Spirit of each son into our hearts. And you and I are not only told to do what is right, we have the power to do what is right. And that's a freedom that comes with Christ. It's not a freedom to do anything I want to do, but it's a freedom to be able to do what I ought to do. That's the freedom that Christ gives. Not a freedom to live in sin, but a freedom to do what I ought to do. When you look at the power of a locomotive that pulls a string of freight cars, it amazes me all the power that's resident in that engine. I've often looked at that. I remember when Paul was just a little fellow, Bill Patterson was staying in our home, and we lived near a railroad track. And, of course, it was a main line of the Reading Railroad that connected the coal fields of West Virginia to the docks in New York. It came right through from West Virginia right across up to Harrisburg and, of course, up to New York. It was the most direct route. It was a very busy railroad, and it still is. Now, Bill and Paul would go over near the railroad, and they'd... They count the railroad cars. And Bill Patterson was a great kidder. He could, and he always was having fun with the children. The children loved him. And he said to Paul, I have x-ray eyes. There are exactly 212 cars on that train that's coming. He said, I saw it when it left Altoona. And that's real funny because Altoona is way to the northwest from where the Reading Railroad even had tracks. So there they stood and they counted it. 211, 212, exactly what Bill said. And Paul's eyes got as big as saucers. He looked at this man in a special way. But think of all the power that's resident in the engine that pulls 212 railroad cars. But where is that power good for? It's only good for one place, on the tracks. If that engine with all its power is anywhere else but on those tracks, it wouldn't do anybody any good. And beloved, the liberty that God has procured for you and me, with all the power of the resurrection life of Christ, it is to be lived in the scope now of being able to do that which we ought to do, for we now have the power to do it. So when the Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," Christ is our sanctification. Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. I am free, beloved, for holy living. There are no strings attached. The desire flows from the heart, and the inner man now desires it. Not because the law tells me to, but because from the heart we want to. This is what being made free means. We now have the want to on the inside, not to do our own thing. The want to is to do the will of God. You see, grace not only saves us, but grace sustains us in every circumstance of life. Now, you see, these Galatians had been formerly ensnared by heathenism. Now they were being drawn by another form of bondage, the law. Now it's only by divine grace that any man stands. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in grace. Furthermore, we grow in grace. 2 Peter 2:3-18. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like what Norman B. Harrison said concerning God's grace and Christian liberty. He said, "Christian liberty is a life so lived that these provisions of grace continue to operate." I like that. That's Christian liberty. The provisions of grace are operating in the believer. Now in verse 1 he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage." What is a yoke? What is a yoke? Well, a yoke is anything that ties two things together, or ties two together, that they can no longer operate independently of the other. That is a yoke. A yoke is anything that ties two together, that they can no longer operate independently of the other. Our Lord says, "Be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage." On the other hand, our Lord said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what we mean by a yoke being easy? It doesn't rub. It doesn't rub. See, when I was a boy, my father, being a village blacksmith, many farmers brought their horses and mules into the blacksmith shop to have him put new shoes on their feet. And many a time a horse would have big rub marks on the front of it, the draft horses, because the yoke didn't fit. Our Lord says, "Come unto me, my yoke fits. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And when we're drawn to the Savior, we are now linked with Him, that we can never operate independent of Him. He says, my yoke is easy. But here He's speaking of a different yoke. He's speaking of a yoke of bondage. You see, when you view men religiously, everybody is in bondage. The Jew, he's in bondage to the law. The Gentile, he's in bondage to his own idea of what God is, his own conception of God. And it is a yoke of bondage upon him, whether he likes it or not. You talk to a Freemason, and they have their concept of God. And it isn't the concept of the Bible, though they claim to follow the Bible. It isn't the concept of the Bible. It is idolatry. For their God is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their God is what they call the grand architect of the universe. But they do not accept the person of Christ in their activities. So what do? You see, to the Gentile, it is their own idea of God, the creation of their own mind. It is not the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when a man rejects the grace of God and places himself under law, that's what he's talking about here. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. And when a man rejects the grace of God and places himself under law, he faces a real problem. What is his problem? Well, he says in verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. What's he saying? Paul is not saying that a circumcised person cannot be saved. For in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, he tells us he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. You see? And he was saved. He's not saying that. You see, the verb here is in the present continuous tense. You see, he's talking about practicing the law as a Christian obligation. We have been set free from the law, and we don't practice the law as a Christian obligation. Keeping part of the law will never compensate for failure in another part. For he that keeps all the law and he fails in one part, he's guilty of all. The saddest thing I've ever met in relation to the law is to talk with people who were so sure they kept it and kept it religiously and were expecting God to merit them because of it. It's a sad thing. They become so engrossed in their own activity, and I'm thinking of some Seventh-day Adventists that I know. And it's the fastest growing denomination in Bermuda, the Seventh-day Adventists. And they started not too many years ago with health food stores. That's an amazing thing. Their churches are much bigger than the assemblies over in Bermuda, I'll tell you that. Much bigger. And I remember preaching just this last time that I was there. And in fact, I was in the home. I visited a family. The wife comes to the assembly, but her husband is a Seventh-day Adventist. And so is a family. And I sat down and explained the law to them. They feel that because they keep one part of the law, they have it made. They don't realize what the Word of God says. He, as we read in the book of James, the practical writer of the New Testament, he says, he that keeps all the law and he fails in one part is guilty of all. We're not children of the bondwoman. We are children of the free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. What is Paul is doing here? He's telling us that faith working by love is far greater than measuring ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves. So much greater. For this is what law works does. It causes us to measure ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves. Verse 3, he says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Why? Verse 4, "Because Christ is become of no effect unto you." And people who are seeking to be justified by their own works, law-keeping, they always have a tendency to measure other people by what they do. What they do becomes the measuring line that they use in others. And instead of the work of Christ being precious to them, it is law works. This is how it works. Because it works naturally. It is the workings of nature rather than the workings of divine grace. Here's a man who keeps the Sabbath. And there are those who are Christians today who, I have a tape at home. No, I don't have it anymore. I gave it to someone else and never got it back. But this man is preaching, and he said, "Our children, on the Lord's Day, they were trying to live by legal obedience rather than in the liberty of grace. Our children would ask, is this the right kind of a toy that we can play with on the Sabbath day? Is this the kind of a magazine that we can look at on the Sabbath day?" And other children, if they were permitted to look at the magazine that they weren't permitted to look at. You see how they measured themselves among themselves and by themselves. How dangerous this becomes. "Stand fast," he cries out, "in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free." Now, why is this so important? One more thing. In it's in verse 17 of chapter 4. I was looking at the wrong chapter. Here is something that is very cynical and easy to do. He says in verse 17, "For they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them." See, measuring ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves. See, if you come up to a certain standard, then you can be in my group. But if you're not up to my standard, you can't be in my group. This is what measuring ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves does. And Paul says, they zealously affect you. They would exclude you. And the greatest desire for the flesh is not to be excluded. Everybody wants to be on the in crowd. We don't want to be excluded. We want to be included. And legalism excludes. As we measure ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves, and the very grace of God that should be operating in our lives through faith that works by love is not working at all. Christ is become of none effect unto us. But we'll pick this up again in the will of the Lord next week. May God enable us to enjoy the liberty that has been purchased for us. Beloved, the grace of God in us enables us not to do our own thing, but to do the right thing. Christ is our righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your abundant grace. We ask you to work in us that which is well-pleasing in thy sight. For Jesus' sake, amen.